Hi friends, I am your host Jade, and welcome or welcome back to Criminal Curiosity, the true crime podcast that dives into bizarre and fascinating cases. Together we talk about everything in the true crime world, whether you've heard of them or not. So buckle up and get ready to feed your curiosity with Criminal Curiosity. This week we are talking about the case of Francine Hughes, a woman who murdered her abusive husband. Walter Moran was born in Pike County, Kentucky, and married Hazel Fleming in 1938 when she was just 14 years old and he was 25. Many people in the South were aware of better opportunities in the North during the 1930s and the 1940s. Walter and Hazel traveled to Michigan, where they initially worked on a farm for several years before Hazel started working as a waitress. Walter had only gone to school for 3 years in his entire life, and Hazel had just gone to school for a year, and Walter was the one to teach her how to read and write. Hazel's first two children died in infancy, or what's known today as SIDS. Hazel gave birth to her daughter Joanne in 1942, and Francine was born in 1947 in Stockbridge, Michigan. Francine describes having a pretty happy childhood. She loved who she was, and she enjoyed receiving compliments and loved to please other people. She says, quote, "I remember having thick, pretty hair. Everywhere I went, everyone commented that I was so pretty, so smart, such a nice child. I try to live up to this, to do everything right. When mom had company, I would be very polite and try to be a hostess. I had a coloring book, and I remember working with crayons and trying to do it perfectly. Then I'd show the books to the grown-ups, and everyone would say to me, 'God, doesn't she color good to be just five?'" End quote. Growing up, Francine lived in a small house with all her siblings and her parents. In the yard, there was a wash tub where the family would take baths, and Hazel would also wash the chickens in the same bathtub. Francine talks about how she enjoyed having her bare foot on the ground because it was the greatest feeling, and when it rained in the summer, their mother would let them go outside and play in the rain. When Francine was 3 years old, her mother gave birth to her daughter, Diana Lynn, and 2 years later, her son, David Lee. When Francine was 8 years old, her mother gave birth to Kathleen, her last child, and Francine had an older brother named Robert Lee, so there was a total of 6 kids. When Francine was 8 years old, Walter left working on the farm to take a job at a factory, and the family moved to Jackson, Michigan. Now, despite making more money in the factory, Walter was absolutely drained from working this job, so he started drinking and gambling. Francine describes her father as a big, tall man, and when he asked her to do something, she did it, no questions asked. When he was sober, he was quiet. He would read the newspaper or watch the news and hardly ever made a noise. Francine talks about her father's drinking and gambling as she's getting older and she's seeing and comprehending more. She states that he would play poker and drink throughout the weekend. He lost his fishing gear and the family car due to betting on those things and losing the bet. She states that when she was 9 years old, her mother got her out of bed and took her to the gas station, where Walter was drunk and sitting next to the pinball machine with a stack of dimes. According to Francine, her parents would frequently argue over money. As time passed, Walter started to physically abuse Hazel. Francine's younger sister once reported witnessing her father hitting Hazel so hard that there was blood on the walls, and she had to call the ambulance multiple times. When Francine was 15 years old, she and her friend Sharon met James Mickey Hughes and Bill Hensley while visiting a friend's house. It was a school night, and the boys offered to drive Francine and Sharon home because they had a curfew, and resisted. They dropped the girls off, and together they talked about how Mickey and Bill were pretty creepy to them. Francine and Mickey met another time, and pretty quickly, they began going on double dates with Bill and Sharon. They would all go to McDonald's for hamburgers and Coca-Cola. They would park the car and listen to the radio. Mickey Hughes, whose parents had promised to give him a car if he finished school, was from Dansville, which is located around 30 minutes from Francine. He had the car, but he didn't graduate high school. He was an orderly at the nursing home where he worked. Sharon and Francine pretty quickly lost all interest in studying their junior year of high school and just wanted to talk about their romantic relationships. When it came to Mickey, who told Francine that he loved her, she was always pretty torn between this idea of saying that to him. Francine learned how much she enjoyed being loved, but she was worried about the commitments that came with confessing her love to him. Mickey was a sexually experienced boy, and he was always pressuring Francine to sleep with him, and she didn't want that because she just simply didn't want it. Francine described that she just wanted the four of them to hang out, her, Mickey, Bill, and Sharon. They just wanted to go to McDonald's, dance, listen to music, just the simple things. She resisted Mickey's repeated advances to have sex because she wanted to wait until she was married. Although Francine had some concerns about getting married, she also held this view that everything would be okay, it would turn out just right, and that the marriage would be ideal if she was a good housewife who cooked and cleaned. I feel like no 16-year-old should have to deal with the stress of getting married, but Mickey was someone that was not letting up, and he didn't take no for an answer. While Mickey said that he loved Francine, Francine was iffy about that, and she, at this point, felt like she had to marry him. Francine recounts two occasions in which she began to question the boy she was marrying. The first is that one day, Mickey decides to quit his job. Francine was quite concerned about this decision. The other occasion is that Mickey's brother, Lawrence, was engaged to Bill Hensley's sister, Lillian, and they were hosting a bridal shower in Dansville's town hall. There would be Mickey, Francine, Bill, and Sharon all going. Francine and Sharon decided to not go inside because they spotted Mickey and Bill's ex-girlfriends. So Francine and Sharon decided to wait in Mickey's car while Bill and Mickey went inside. The girls pretty quickly got bored, and Francine decided to practice her driving. She makes the decision to drive around the block, and as she's turning around to head back, Mickey and Bill emerge from the building and head for the car. When she sees them, she hits the gas, and in the rearview mirror, she can see Mickey and Bill are running after them. Francine parks the car in front of Mickey's house. Sharon and Francine go inside the house and hide behind the stove. But they were laughing, and they were going to be found pretty quickly, so they ran outside. When Mickey caught up to Francine on the sidewalk, he grabbed her by her blouse, popping off the buttons, and Mickey was someone that was obsessed with his car. It was his baby, it was his pride and joy, and he treated the car way better than he treated Francine. A few days later, they went to the jewelry store with Mickey's mother to choose wedding rings. Mickey's mom co-signed the $93 ring because he was unemployed. Mickey and Francine were married on November 4th, 1963, at the Dansville Methodist Church. Mickey was 18 and Francine was 16. According to Francine in the book, The Burning Bed, by most of this information, Francine states, quote, "I was scared to death. All I could think of during the ceremony was that I was closing a chapter in my life too soon. I looked at Mom and I saw uncertainty and regret on her face. I was not prepared emotionally or physically for any of the things that were going to happen to me in the next 3 or 4 years. I was still growing up and living in my dream world, my teenage world." End quote. Mickey's family left their home for their honeymoon so Mickey and Francine could have some alone time. Francine had a mental picture of what a married life would look like. It would be quiet, they would have privacy, they would have their own house, yet it was the complete opposite. 10 days later, the Hughes family returned to the home, and it was a pretty crowded home because there are roughly 5 to 6 kids living there along with the parents. And knowing that there's roughly 7 to 8 people, close to 10 people in the house, Francine was very embarrassed to have sex because there is literally no privacy, but Mickey was someone that didn't care for those things. Mickey's issues emerged not long after they got married. He started feeling jealous and complained that the things Francine wore were too sexual, too provocative, and were made to catch other men's attention. Francine would mostly wear black ski pants and a blouse tucked into the pants. And Mickey thought that that was too revealing and told her that she should wear the blouse hanging loose instead of tucked in. When Mickey was out looking for work one day, Francine tucked her blouse in. She pulled her shirt out right before he got home, and he noticed because the shirt had wrinkles. He grabbed her by the arm and took her upstairs before pushing her to the ground and ripping her ski pants off and into pieces. Francine began saying how much she loved him and only him, and she was saying this because she was terrified of what he was going to do to her. Mickey then realized what he had done and took Francine in his arms while she cried. He said that he was sorry and that he promised to never do it again since he loved her. One day, Flossie Hughes, which is Mickey's mom, and Francine, they go out shopping. Francine was pretty happy because she found a top and a pair of pedal pushers, so she was eager to show Mickey her new look because... When Mickey arrived at the house, he tore her shirt and capris off and threw them to the ground in a fit of rage. She then ran upstairs, naked, where she passed by Mickey's mother just watching her in silence. Another time, the family had guests over in the afternoon, and they were all sitting about drinking coffee and chatting. Francine comes across a man that she had never seen before, and the reason that she was able to remember him is because of his very large hands. She'd never seen hands that huge. When Mickey and Francine are in their room, Mickey accused Francine of checking out the man, and when she explained, he punched her and she fell on the bed. He said, quote, "I'll teach you not to look at another man, you whore," end quote. As time passed, Mickey got a job and Francine was able to get them an apartment. Her father co-signed for their car. It was a 1957 Chrysler, which cost $125. One day, she's sitting in the passenger seat while Mickey's driving the car and they're at the shopping center. And she's staring out the window because that's pretty much what everybody does in their car. Francine sees a random man standing on the side of the road, and Mickey slaps her across the face and accused her of staring at another man. Francine began to experience greater physical abuse from Mickey at every single turn, and that he would claim that he was sorry, he loved her, but he just couldn't stand her looking at another man and that it would never happen again. They occasionally had moments where they behaved like teens. They were hanging out and enjoying each other's company, but such times didn't last for very long. In addition to moving into a larger apartment, Francine convinced Mickey to let her be able to work part-time at a restaurant as a waitress. Mickey soon started forming this concept of Francine at work in his mind. He would ask her, you know, how was work? What did you do? And she would reply, and he would pick out the small details. He wanted to know every single person that she served, interacted with, or glanced at. You know, did she look at men? Did you talk to men? What did the men want? It was Mickey who thought Francine was sleeping with another man. He would get upset and blame her for his own imagination when he realized that he makes the entire thing up. The marriage wasn't improving. At one point, Mickey had beaten her so severely that there were bruises and cuts on her face. After 6 months of marriage, Francine and Mickey were expecting their first child in the spring of 1964. She states, quote, "I know it wasn't right for two teenagers to bring a child into this world when they can barely support themselves," end quote. And his response was, quote, "What's the matter? Don't you want my child?" End quote. Coming up on their first year anniversary, Mickey came home from work one day and said that he couldn't take care of a wife and a child and told her, you know, "You need to go and you can always stay with your mom." On December 20th, Francine gave birth to her daughter, Christy Marie, and their divorce was finalized in April 1971. Mickey ended up getting into a car accident in his mid-20s. His legs were broken, he had swelling in the brain, he had abdominal surgery, and his spleen was removed, and he was in and out of a coma. And Francine was the one left to take care of him. As soon as he started feeling better, he started drinking, and he would arrive home drunk and being physically and verbally abusive and aggressive with Francine. So there is a lot of abuse that Mickey did towards Francine, and it goes on and on and on and on. But we're going to move into 1977, and Francine is 30 years old. She's a college student, and she's the mother of Christy, Jimmy, Nikki, and Dana, four kids with Mickey. And Mickey is still a violent piece of crap. On March 9th, 1977, Francine returns from class and finds Mickey grilling her about where she was, who she was with, and that her kids hadn't eaten. Francine has things to do around the house. She has schoolwork to complete. She has errands to run. Mickey is just taking up space. He's not doing anything. Mickey begins telling her to quit school, and when she refuses, he burns her school books and becomes more abusive and threatens to kill her. Francine called the police, but they didn't arrest Mickey because he didn't hit her in front of the police. Francine was trying to make food for her children, and Mickey did not like that idea, so he threw all the food on the floor. He forced her to the floor by bending her arm behind her back and forcing her to clean up the mess he made. When she was done, he dumped the trash on the floor and forced her to clean it up again. When the children went to their room, Mickey forced Francine to cook him dinner and then raped her in her room until he passed out from being drunk. Francine had enough. She was dealing with this boy since she was 16 years old, and she started to create this plan in her head, but she needed all four children to be home, but Dana, her last child, wasn't home. She tells her three children to go in the car and wait while she went inside to get a gas can. She then entered the bedroom and threw gasoline all over the place. She lit one match in her hand, flung it in the room, rushed out the house, and later drove to the police station where she confessed what she did. On October 24th, the murder trial for Francine began in Lansing, Michigan. The prosecution portrayed to jurors a scenario in which Francine killed her husband because she was having an affair. Francine was found not guilty by reason of temporary insanity, and on November 4th, 1977, Francine was a free woman. After the murder and the trial, Francine moved to Jackson, Michigan with her children, where they lived in a house and Francine worked some factory jobs. In 1980, she married a country musician, Robert Wilson, and she became a licensed practitioner nurse, working at nursing homes. On March 22, 2017, Francine passed away in Layton, Alabama from complications of pneumonia at the age of 69. Because of Francine's case and many other cases, it brought the topic of domestic violence to light. It gained attention. They came up with the term burning bed syndrome after the trial, where women would murder their abusers, similar to the battered woman syndrome. In 1984, Farrah Fawcett starred in the successful film Burning Bed, which again brought more light to domestic violence. The Violence Against Women Act was passed by Congress in 1994. It established a hotline for domestic violence. It required all 50 states to enforce court protection orders, funds, and training for domestic violence education for law enforcement officers. Even if this case has raised attention to a significant issue, that doesn't guarantee that the issue has been resolved. Every day, 20 people are physically abused by their intimate partner. In their lifetime, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men will experience physical abuse at the hands of an intimate partner. My thoughts? I think as a society, we always, you know, question, if you have never been in that position, it's so hard for you to tell someone what to do. And we always tend to blame the victims instead of the criminals. Why do we never question the abuser and say, well, why don't you just stop beating your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or your boyfriend? And it's like, at a certain point, you abuse the person that you claim to love, you treat them like crap. Why don't you think that you can get killed? And in the description of this episode, I will have the domestic violence hotline below. And with that, today's story comes to an end. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Remember, every Thursday, there is a new episode at 7 a.m. You can keep up with me and the podcast at Instagram at Criminal Curiosity Pod. That is all that I have for you today. Please be safe out there. Look out for one another. Until next time, bye everyone.